The Big Morning Show. I'm John Waters, and joining me this morning, U.S. Representative Congressman Cory Gardner. Good morning, Cory.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. A happy Monday to you. Are you suffering any jet lag from the time change?
I tell you what, it was a little rough this morning waking up with the as early as it was, and then, of course, as nice as it was yesterday, we spent the whole day outside and had a beautiful day with the family, so it was gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, we have some house cleaning to do. You had a big announcement that you made last week that you are going to challenge Senator Mark Udall for the Senate seat.
We did. I announced for the United States Senate last week because I believe the best way that we can change the direction of this country, get our economy moving again, get people back to work, address our big problems like national debt and deficit, is to change the direction of the United States Senate. That means changing Mark Udall, who's voted 99% of the time with Barack Obama, and replacing Harry Reid so that we can actually start solving some of America's biggest challenges.
Now, of course, Weld County Attorney Ken Buck had already announced for that Senate seat, but he then subsequently said he is going to run for your current seat rather than the Senate seat.
And that's the issue, of course, is the 4th Congressional District is a safe Republican seat. It will remain in a Republican hands. And, you know, this is going to be a Republican majority. In fact, it may be a bigger Republican majority in the House of Representatives. But it's no good staying in a safe seat if we don't have a United States Senate that is willing to solve the problems this nation has to have solved. And that's why my wife and I, we ultimately came to the realization that we have to make sure that we're doing everything we can to put Colorado in play and win this race so that we can start passing legislation to reduce frivolous regulations and balancing the budget, issues that we know we need to do.
How long had this process been in effect, Cory? How long had you been thinking about making this run?
You know, we've been thinking about it for some time, and it particularly picked up last year. I had thought about reconsidering running for the U.S. Senate, but it really picked up last year when we received our health care cancellation notice. You know, we've talked about that on the air. 335,000 Coloradans have had their health insurance canceled. We know that 65% of small businesses are going to see their health insurance premiums increase as a result of a bill that Mark Udall passed with his vote. He was the deciding vote on Obamacare. And again, one more reason why I believe we need to have somebody who's truly representing the voices of Colorado in Washington.
Now, some of the pundits that I've read and listened to nationwide, political pundits, have said that with your entering that Senate race, that has made Mark Udall particularly vulnerable.
Well, I think this is a competitive state. I've never particularly seen Colorado as a red, blue, or purple state. I've always looked at it as a state that pushes back against people who are no longer working in its best interest, and that's Republicans or Democrats. We've seen at the state legislature over the past 15 years. Several years ago, they were pushing back against Republicans. This year, whether it's the recalls in the state legislature or the challenges we've seen in the polling against Mark Udall or John Hickenlooper, we can see the people of Colorado starting to push back against the overreach the Democrats have had. So this is a state that simply wants people to do their work, to work hard, to make this this government work in a way that they can be proud of.
Once again, my guest is Congressman Cory Gardner. Well, I know it's going to be an interesting number of months here as you run for that Senate seat. But in the meantime, work continues on the House side as well. And we wanted to talk about a couple of things there. First of all, of course, the big news over the last week or so has been Russia and Vladimir Putin really... It looks like, at least from my perspective, beginning to try to put those pieces of the old Soviet Union back together.
Well, it is a disturbing development in Russia when we see this so-called Russia reset with the United States completely gone. There is no longer a reset with Russia. These relationships are now as tenuous as they have been in some time. And we see a Russian government that is flexing its muscle, moving into foreign territory, into foreign countries that used to be its territory, of course, under the previous regimes in Russia. There's a lot that the United States ought to be doing. And unfortunately, over the past few years of this administration, I think the world has realized that the United States has become rather ambivalent when it comes to its foreign affairs, and that's a scary position for international security.
Well, and, you know, something I found interesting, Corey, is that some Republican leaders have been warning of this happening for a number of years. I think of, for example, Sarah Palin, who, what, 5-6 years ago kind of sounded the warning bell of this sort of thing happening. I also remember back during one of the presidential debates, Mitt Romney talking about Vladimir Putin possibly doing this sort of thing, moving into the Ukraine, and being poo-pooed by President Obama as that being a ridiculous thought. But all of a sudden, here we are.
Well, you would think in the age of global economics, global power that we are in, that there would no longer be a level of naive policies when it comes to foreign affairs. But that's exactly what we have seen. Sorry, my car's starting to talk here a little bit. I don't know what's going on. But we've seen a level of naivety that we've never seen in foreign policy before, and that's a harmful thing for this country.
Well, and I guess the broader scope and the scarier part of that is, then does that give more, I guess, you know, give other countries or other regimes more reason to try to do some of their own things, because quite honestly, the United States looking pretty weak right now.
Well, I think that's what you've seen in Iran. That's what you've seen with Syria. And that's, you know, I remember traveling to Israel, visiting with various members of the Israeli Defense Department, and they were very concerned that there was a lack of understanding, a lack of actually ability to comprehend what the U.S. foreign policy was going to be, and that's what we've seen around the Middle East. That's what we're starting to see with Russia, is a foreign policy that nobody actually believes has anybody to back it up.
Yeah, very scary situation that hopefully you know, can be averted or rectified before it gets too far along in the process. U.S. Representative Congressman Cory Gardner joining me this morning via telephone. And Corey, while we have you, let's talk some legislation. As I mentioned earlier, even though you're running for U.S. Senate, your work in the House continues. I know you well enough to know that unlike some others in the past, you don't just put that on the back burner and say, well, I'm basically done with all that. I'm running for Senate now. I know you're still going to be working hard. And one of the things you're working on is has to do with some tax issues.
That's right. You know, it's an interesting tax issue that we have heard, and it's affecting a lot of people in rural Colorado, particularly farmers and ranchers, that when they go into a dealership, an equipment to get the tractor repaired, there's a standard provision in the law that says if you spend X amount of money, then when it comes to certain 179 deductions, is it a repair or an improvement? And your taxes depend on that analysis. Well, now they're requiring everybody who spends $500 or more to make this analysis, which means a whole heck of a lot of paperwork for farmers who may go in for a very, very simple repair today that can cost $500 pretty easily, unfortunately.
Right.
And so we're looking at trying to raise the amount of money for that allowance, because otherwise we're going to have people, instead of farming, they're going to be producing paperwork.
Well, and unfortunately, we see that in all aspects, where there just seems to be more and more red tape all the time, more and more paperwork and things like that that take away from productivity.
Well, it does. And you know, and unfortunately today, it's very expensive to be in farming. And so it doesn't take much of a repair to get over $500 threshold for that reporting requirement. And so this is something that was brought to our attention by a group of farmers in northeastern Colorado, who had some very serious concerns about it, and we've been working with the House Ways and Means Committee to try to address this concern.
One other thing I want to ask you about, Corey, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I know something near and dear to your heart is energy issues, especially renewables, but a lot about oil and gas in the news, well, not just lately, but overall, and especially with things like the XL Keystone Pipeline, you know, and trying to be more energy independent, I guess. What do you see coming in that way, especially with the midterm elections coming up?
Well, you know, I think if you just look at the situation in the Ukraine itself, the fact that for the first time in any of our lifetimes that we could be North American energy secure means a great deal, not only to jobs and the economy right here in Colorado and across the nation, but it means that we have a significant ability to impact the geopolitical situation around the world. Ukraine right now is reliant on Russia for a majority of its energy supplies, especially its natural gas. And when Russia flexes its muscle and threatens to cut off that natural gas supply, it means that we have a nation that can wield energy as a weapon. Well, as the world's true energy superpower today, the United States ought to be concentrating on production that we could export, like LNG natural gas, natural gas exports, so that we can send it to places like the Ukraine, to send it to places like Russia, to Europe, to lessen the dependency that Europe has on Russia. So as we produce more and more jobs through the energy development here in this country, we're also producing more security around the world if we have the policies that will allow us to do so.
Well, and also, as you kind of alluded to, they're taking away power from Russia, from the Middle East, places like that, that do have their, many, many other countries under their thumbs because of that energy production.
That's right. Now, it's as reports in Congress say, from the Congressional Research Service to the Energy and Commerce Committee, we know that that abundance of energy is here because of the ability to access unconventional resource plays. And there's a group of extremists in this state that want to end the ability to access that energy. And that's, again, not only hurting jobs and the economy in this country, but allowing Russia then to continue to flex its muscle without the ability of us to fight back.
Well, I always find it ironic that on one hand, the administration is talking about job creation and we need to do whatever we can to create jobs. But yet on the other side, we have these different areas where we could be creating thousands of jobs, and they say, well, no, we want to save a tree.
No, and there's a saying out there, I'm going to do a different variation on it, believe what I say and not what I do seems to be the reality that the administration is going forward on, because while they talk about increasing energy opportunity in this country, their regulations make increasing energy more difficult in this country, and the same can be said for some of our elected officials here in Colorado, and that's not a good thing because their actions are certainly different than what they're saying.
Well, you know, and we could take just exactly what you have just said there and apply it to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare as well.
Promises were made, the foundational promise that if you liked your health care plan, you could keep your health care plan. If you like your doctor, you could keep your doctor. Those two statements aren't true, but yet that's what was sold to the American people, and the American people were promised that. And that promise was, in fact, named the lie of the year by an organization called PolitiFact.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, Corey, for those who need to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
They can always get a hold of me on the website, Corey Gardner, at websites for our congressional office. You can go to our Facebook pages and our Twitter page. Rep. Corey Gardner is our Twitter handle, but we'd love to hear from everybody.
Well, Corey, I appreciate your time, and keep up the good fight, and good luck with your run for the Senate.
Hey, thanks so much, Sean. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. U.S. Representative Congressman Corey Gardner, our guest this morning.